Philippians chapter 1. And our text for this morning, as we continue our study in this letter of Paul, our text for this morning is verse 20, where Paul says, "According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death." The Lord Jesus Christ, on one occasion, addressed his disciples with regard to them getting their priorities right. The Lord said to the disciples, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6 and verse 33. They were to seek first those things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And those temporal things, the Lord said, would be added unto them. But their priority was to seek the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus taught the same lesson one day to Martha. Martha was the sister of Mary and Lazarus. Martha complained that she was left to do all the work herself when she and her sister entertained the Lord. The Lord Jesus said to Martha, "Thou art cumbered about much serving." Then he went on to say, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." In other words, Mary had got her priorities right. For Mary had left the many things, and she had come and taken her place at the feet of the Lord Jesus. She had got her priorities right. When I was back in Ulster there in December, I went to visit a brother who played a large part in the building of the church there in Newton Abbey. I went and visited him and his wife, and we were talking over old times. And then he told me that a few months ago he had been taken seriously ill. He had gone to a doctor and he'd been examined and x-rays and all the rest of it. And he was diagnosed as having a cancerous tumor. He went back to his work, and later on that day the doctor called him and told him that he had a bed available in the hospital. Could he come in? And my friend says, "I will go in immediately." He went into the hospital and the surgery was performed that evening. The next morning, the doctor came around and was visiting his patients. They came to the bedside of my friend. Before the doctor could say anything with regard to the surgery, my friend said to the doctor, he says, "I want you to tell me everything. I don't want you to keep anything back from me. I want you to tell me the bad news." And the doctor said, "Well, I don't have any bad news for you. But rather I want to tell you that we believe we were able to get all of the tumor. And the cancer hasn't spread. And he went on to speak to him about the matter. My friend said that whenever the doctor left his bedside, he lay there on his bed and he was looking up at the ceiling. And he thanked the Lord for his goodness. And he thanked the Lord for giving him a second chance. And he said, suddenly that morning, and that hospital ward, everything in my life came into perspective. And I suddenly realized what my priorities should have been. It should have been the Lord and my family. And he determined from that moment on, he would serve the Lord in a better way than he had ever served him before. And he would give more time to his family than he had given before. Now this was a man who attended all the prayer meetings and all the services and did a great work in building that church building. And he told me what he was doing now. He said he retired from the work that he was at. He was a joiner or a carpenter. And he says, now I go down to the south of Ireland. And he says, I help churches down there that maybe need the building, need repairs. I'll go down, I'll spend a week there and do what I can. And I noticed a great change in that brother. I noticed it from the moment I went into his house. Because now he had got his priorities right. He was saved all right before. But the Lord was not in his proper place in his life. And he said there in that hospital bed, I realized I need to put Christ first in my life. And I need to have my family in a better place in my life. Christ first in my family. He began to seek first the kingdom of heaven. And all the other things would be added on to him. The Lord would take care of all the other things that he had spent so much time seeking after. I wonder what our priorities in life are. The Apostle Paul knew what his priorities were. He reveals them to us in this verse 20. Mark the words, read them over. Meditate upon them today. According, Paul says, to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always so now, also Christ shall be magnified in my body. There was Paul's priority. That Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Paul was seeking first the kingdom of God. And the Lord, he believed, would add everything else onto him. Everything else will fall into place. And believer, that's true. You put the Lord first in your life. The Lord will take care of everything else. But if you don't put the Lord first in your life, you're going to lose out on those other things. So I want to look at these words and I want to look at the subject of getting our priorities right. The first thing I notice here in this verse is Paul and his holy desire. Paul and his holy desire. His desire was to magnify Christ. The first matter in Paul's holy desire, which we want to consider, is his interest. He begins by speaking about his earnest expectation and hope. Now, what might that be? What was Paul referring to when he spoke about his earnest expectation and hope? Remember, Paul is in prison. Now, having experience in being in prison, no, not as a prisoner, but being in contact with prisoners, I know what the earnest expectation and hope of every prisoner I ever met was. Their release from prison. They were counting the days. Sad to say, for many of them, counting the years. When they would be released from prison, they couldn't wait. That was their earnest expectation and hope, to be released from prison. Yet that was not a priority with Paul. Paul was not thinking about being released from prison. Instead, he's thinking about magnifying Christ as a prisoner. However long he would be in prison, Paul's only thought was that he might magnify Christ there where he was in prison. His only interest is Christ and his glory. His only interest was bringing honor and praise and glory to the Lord as a prisoner. From that day when the Lord met him on the road to Damascus, Paul's only interest in life was Christ and his glory. That's what he says in the very next verse. For to me to live is Christ. To die is gain. For to me to live is Christ. So we sang that hymn this morning. Not I, but Christ. Be honored, loved, exalted. Not I, but Christ. Be seen, be known, be heard. Not I, but Christ. In every look and action. Not I, but Christ. In every thought and word. There was a time when he had other interests, Apostle Paul. You go over to chapter 3 of Philippians. He was not always interested in magnifying the Lord Jesus. He was more interested in magnifying himself. He confesses that in chapter 3 of Philippians, in verse 5. This is what Paul boasted in before that meeting with the Lord on the Damascus road. He says, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. That's what I was. There was Paul's boast. He was an Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin. He persecuted the church. He was praised for doing such things. He magnified self. But then on the road to Damascus he met the Savior. And everything changed. Changed in his life, and it changed in his heart, and it changed in his soul. For then he goes on to say, verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Does that not emphasize to us there that the Lord Jesus held that prime place in Paul's heart and in his life? Paul's priority in life, Paul's interest in life, was to magnify the Lord. What is our interest in life today? What is your priority and mine? What comes first before anything and everything else? I trust that is the Lord. That the Lord comes first in all things, that He has that exalted place in our lives. That was his interest. Paul's only interest was to magnify the Lord. And then he speaks of his integrity. For he says there in that verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. In nothing I shall be ashamed. He was saying that he would not want to do anything, even in prison, that he would be ashamed of. He would not want to do anything, even in prison, that would dishonor the name of the Lord. That was his earnest expectation and hope, that in all things, even in prison, he wouldn't do anything that he would be ashamed of. He didn't want to be like David, who one day had Nathan come to him and say, David, thou art the man. And David had to bow his head in shame because his sin had been committed, or sin had been discovered. The sin that he had committed with another man's wife. And how David was ashamed of his actions. You've only to read Psalm 51 to know that. And how many have brought shame upon the cause of Christ through some terrible sin. We're all familiar with the name Jimmy Swaggart. Jimmy Swaggart was a TV evangelist. He had a vast congregation. He fell into gross sin. And it not only destroyed him, but how it brought shame on the cause of Jesus Christ. Paul says, I don't want to do anything that I would be ashamed of, and that would bring shame upon the cause of the Lord Jesus. But my desire is that I might magnify Christ. He did not want to put or be put to shame by feeling Christ as a witness for him. May such a holy desire be instilled in our hearts by the Spirit of the Lord, so that in conversation and in conduct we'll not do anything or say anything which we may be ashamed of. We'll not do anything in secret that we may be ashamed of. As Dr. Bob Jones, founder of Bob Jones University, said, what we are when we're by ourselves is what we really are. That's what we really are. What we are when we're by ourselves. And Paul was there in prison amongst ungodly men, and his desire was that he would not do anything or say anything that he'd be ashamed of later. And anything that would bring dishonor to the name of the Lord. Paul had got his priorities right. And then you have his incentive. The phrase, my earnest expectation. Those words are only to be found in one other place in Scripture. They're found in Romans chapter 8. You turn please to Romans 8. And Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Romans 8 and verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So Paul, in addressing the Romans, is thinking forward. He's looking to that time when he'll appear before God. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. But then he says in verse 19, for the earnest expectation. There's that phrase. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's evident that Paul is speaking about glory when he'll be changed from glory into glory. When he'll meet his Lord in heaven. That's what he's referring to. And I believe that is what Paul is referring to here in Philippians 1 and verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and hope, he's looking forward to that time when he'll meet the Lord. When he sees the Lord in glory. My earnest expectation. It's interesting that those words, earnest expectation, referred to looking out for someone with a stretched neck. If you think, say, the Queen of England was to visit Port Hope, I have no doubt that the crowds would be lining the streets. And perhaps she's coming down Toronto Road there in the car. And people will be lining each side of the road and be stretching their necks looking to see if they can get a glimpse of the Queen. That's the meaning of this word, or these words. Looking with stretched neck. And so Paul was looking with earnest expectation toward the day when he would appear before God. He was looking towards the Lord's return. Looking towards with stretched neck towards that time when he would appear before him. And when he wrote to the Corinthian believers, he spoke about that time when he would appear before him. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Let us give attention to this word this morning. We might repeat the words again. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now you can see what Paul is referring to here. According to his earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I will be ashamed. He's looking towards that time when he'll stand before God, when he'll appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And he doesn't want anything revealed there about him of which he would be ashamed. That's what's at the heart of this text. He wouldn't want to do anything in life, even in prison, of which he would be ashamed. When the secrets of man shall be revealed in the last day. Let us all live, believer, in the light of the judgment seat of Christ. For as Paul says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And everyone, are we left out? Everyone who received the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. That was Paul and his holy desire, which would lead us to consider Paul and his holy devotion. The words of our text demonstrate just how devoted Paul was to the Lord and to his Savior. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness and always so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. It was all Paul was interested in. He sought first the kingdom of God. All the other things were added on to him. The Lord took care of everything else, but he sought first the kingdom. This demonstrates his devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. So devoted to him that he did not want to do or say anything that would offend the Lord or make Paul ashamed. Living for Christ in prison, being held there by ungodly Roman soldiers, it would have been very difficult. It would have taken, first of all, a lot of courage to magnify Christ under such circumstances. When alone and in the company of the ungodly, it would have been the easiest thing in the world to compromise. He could have adopted the language of the Romans' guard. He could have kept quiet about the Lord. After all, who would know? Who would know? Paul was aware that the Lord would know. The Lord would know all that he did, and all that he said, and all that he thought. And he knew that he would answer for his behavior at the judgment seat of Christ. So he shows his devotion to the Lord Jesus by being just as bold inside prison as he was outside prison. And that takes courage. That was his priority. That no matter where he was, no matter what company he was in, he would honor the Lord. He would magnify Christ in his body. He would honor and magnify Christ in everything that he said and everything that he did. He reminds me very much of Daniel. Daniel honored God the day that he refused to take the king's meat. It would have been the easiest thing in the world for Daniel to compromise. But we are told that he determined in his heart. Determined in his heart that he would not take the king's meat. He was determined to honor the Lord. And later on, Daniel was forbidden to pray to the Lord God of heaven. And if he prayed, it would be under the threat of being cast in to a den of lions. But that didn't matter to Daniel. Because he went up into his room, he got down on his knees with the windows open toward Jerusalem, and he prayed to God just as he had done every other day. Nothing had changed. Daniel's priorities were right. He was going to put the Lord first in his life. Believer, let us put the Lord first in your life and in mine. He reminds me also of the other apostles. When they were forbidden to preach in the Savior's name, Peter stood up and, speaking for the other apostles, he said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." It is a mark of our devotion to Jesus Christ when we show such courage in trying circumstances. Over in 1 John, we read in chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16. "And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world." In other words, as he is, as Christ was persecuted in this world, so we'll be persecuted. But we must demonstrate our love and devotion to the Lord Jesus by standing up for Christ and being bold for him, whatever our circumstances. Paul demonstrated his devotion to Jesus Christ by saying that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether in life or in death. Notice not only Paul's courage, but you notice that Paul was consistent. Note what he said. "But that with all boldness, as always, so now also shall be Christ shall be magnified in my body." Always and so now. Now referring to his time in prison. Even now, Paul saying, "I have always endeavored to be bold for the Lord and preaching the gospel. I've always endeavored to magnify the Lord. And I endeavor to magnify the Lord now as well." Paul was consistent. He may have been amongst men who would not appreciate his ministry. Nevertheless, he was not going to water down his message. He was not going to compromise. That was always Paul's priority, to honor his Lord. Remember what he said, "For to me to live is Christ." To honor his Lord and be faithful in preaching the gospel. Whether people liked it or not, whether they hated him or not, whether they had no interest in what he had to say, Paul was still going to be bold, and he's going to be faithful, and he's going to preach the word, whether they would hear or not hear. Remember what he said to the elders when he said farewell to them, the elders in Ephesus? He'd been ministering to them for 3.5 years. And he reminded them of this. He said, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. That's a good testimony to have, is it not? I have not shunned, I've been bold. And I've declared unto you all the whole counsel of God. I've been faithful. I haven't left pieces out that you wouldn't like. I have declared unto you all the counsel of God. Is not what he told Timothy in that last chapter of his final letter to Timothy? I charge you, charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing of his kingdom, preach the word, Timothy. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. There's the whole counsel of God. For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine. They'll not want to hear the word. They'll not want to listen to the word, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears. Turn away their ears from the truth, and shall turn unto fables. But Paul said to Timothy, don't take them under your notice, Timothy. You still preach the word. The instant in season and out of season. When it's in season to preach the word, preach it. When it's out of season to preach the word, preach it. And Paul not only wanted Timothy to follow his example in preaching, but he also wanted the believers to follow his example in how to live for Christ as well. For in Philippians 4 in verse 9, Paul says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. The things that you've learned, that you've received, that you've heard, that you've seen in me, do those things. Let us, like Paul, make living for Christ our priority. Then you have his cause. What was Paul's cause while in prison? What was his cause out of prison? That he might magnify Christ in his body. That was his cause. That with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body. That was the lifelong cause of the apostle. To magnify Christ, note, in his body. To magnify Christ in his body. And Paul magnified Christ by surrendering his body to the Lord. That magnifies Christ. For there on the Damascus road he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? In other words, what Paul was saying to the Lord on the Damascus road, Lord, I will go anywhere. I will do anything for thee. I want to magnify thee in my body. And believer, that's the duty of every one of us here. It ought to be the desire of us all that we surrender our bodies to Christ I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Romans 12 and verse 1. He magnified the Lord in not only surrendering his body, but also in suffering in body. The Lord said to him, when he met him on the Damascus road, he told Ananias, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Suffer for my name's sake. Suffer for me. And while he was locked up there in that prison at Rome, Paul's priority was that he might magnify Christ in his body, a body that was suffering at that time. And his prayer was that even in my sufferings I will magnify the Lord. It's Paul's priority. It's a mark of his devotion, a mark of his desire. And finally, of Paul and his holy determination. He was determined to magnify Christ in his body, whether it be by life or by death. He was determined. Here we see the focus of his determination. Paul makes it clear that he is determined to magnify Christ. That was his focus, to magnify the Lord. The word magnify, as you can imagine, means to make great or to enlarge. So that his body would be, as it were, a magnifying glass. It would magnify the Lord. That when people would look upon Paul, those who were with them there in prison, they wouldn't see Paul the apostle, they wouldn't see Saul of Tarsus, but rather they would see Jesus of Nazareth. In the way that he suffered, in the way that he approached things, in the way that he conducted himself, in the way that he spoke and carried on his conversation. Whether he suffered in body, whether he surrendered his body, whether he sacrificed that body in service, he wanted Jesus Christ to be seen. He wanted Christ to be magnified. And believer, we live in a world today that magnifies men. Hollywood magnifies the actors and the actresses. Sports stars are magnified. They're almost treated as gods. This was brought home to me just yesterday. Friday night, a young man murdered in the Pacific Mall in Markham. Shot to death. Yesterday morning, a woman was killed in a car accident on the 400. I listened to the news last night expecting to hear more about the young man who was murdered and the woman who was killed in the tragic car accident. What was the headlines? Wasn't the shooting? Wasn't the accident? Matt Sundin is coming back to the Air Canada Centre. Is he more important than a young man losing his life? More important than a woman on the highway been launched out into eternity? It didn't even take second place in the news headlines. The next item on the news headlines was the 649 lotto now has $45 million or whatever it is. I think that's tragic. Who's going to magnify Christ? Only the Christian. Who's going to draw attention to Jesus Christ? That's up to us to magnify the Lord. That was Paul's priority. To magnify Christ, whether in life or in death. That was the focus of his cause, Christ. The psalmist said in Psalm 34, verse 3, O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Believer, let us magnify the Lord. Let us exalt his name together. Or as Mary said in Luke 1, 46, my soul doth magnify the Lord. Was the focus of his determination, the faithfulness of his determination. For Paul's desire and prayer was, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Paul's desire was that he would remain faithful in magnifying the Lord Jesus even unto death. He wanted to die well. He wanted to magnify the Lord. He wanted to leave this world with his focus still on Jesus Christ. He wanted to pass into the Lord's presence, leaving behind himself a legacy, a witness, a testimony that he magnified the Lord in life and in death. The martyrs in the days of the Reformation magnified the Lord in death. Praise God for them. Chained to the stake, fires burning around them. Yet still they were able to speak of Christ and sing his praises. They magnified the Lord in death. You wonder how they were able to do it. You wonder how Paul was able to do it. Well, he has given us the secret. He's told us how he was able to magnify Christ in life and in death. For he said, for I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's how he was able to do it. And believer, Christ will give us strength to magnify the Lord in life and in death. And let us make that our priority. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer.